Welcome to Spaghetti Launchers, a world-building podcast where we throw a spaghetti at the wall and it's up to you what sticks. Each episode, instead of telling you how to world-build, we discuss an element of fictional worlds and workshop examples live on the fly to give you ideas and inspiration for your world-building project. I'm Kyle.
I'm Ethan. On this week's episode, we are going to be discussing messianic figures. In keeping with the spirit of the holidays, we wanted to discuss this and bring a topic back, you might say. It might sound a little bit similar, a little bit redundant, considering we've already talked about chosen ones. But for the purposes of this episode and the purpose of this conversation, we are going to draw a distinguishing line. So a chosen one, a trope we have discussed before, is think about a Harry Potter or an Anakin Skywalker, someone who has been prophesized, their coming has been prophesized, they've been discussed, they are going to save the world.
Yeah.
But importantly, they have not existed yet.
Yes.
For the purposes of this episode, we are going to classify messianic figures as people who have existed at one point in time in history, then either died or gone into hiding or vanished mysteriously, and their return is prophesized. They're coming to reclaim something. Yes.
So it is chosen ones who have existed before and are just, they're just coming back.
They're just, yeah.
They're just coming back.
They took a little break.
Yeah. And they're back. Yeah. And the most obvious example, as you say, for the holidays is Jesus Christ.
Indeed.
His birthday is coming up. So let's come up with our own versions.
A little bit of inspiration here.
Yeah.
You know,
he's inspired quite a lot in human history.
You might say that religion is the world's best world building. You know, people literally have fought quite a bit about it, and not just in the comments.
I mean, also, like, most of this podcast, we have at some point just been like, now let's talk about the gods. Because that is how, you know, that's how it works.
I like the gods, man. They're fun.
And I'm pretty sure whatever messianic figures we talk about today are going to have religions around them. Probably.
Maybe.
I think it'll be a question that we'll be asking each other.
Yes, I think that's fair.
Because
a lot of them, a lot of them often end up having, if not like distinct religions about them, like they certainly become a pinnacle of society, right? So I'm thinking,
I am the pinnacle of society.
I'm thinking immediately of like Luther and Telamon, the dragon from the Wheel of Time series, who
iconic,
famously died and then was,
what?
Spoilers, I know, reborn as the dragon reborn into, now further spoilers, Randall Thor, who's known as the Dragon Reborn. What is the word that I'm looking for now? Caveat here. I have not actually read these books. I just find the lore fascinating.
Shout out to Daniel Green,
who has explained through all of his videos, has explained this lore to me in great detail. It is fascinating. I would like to read the books one day, but I'm a terrible reader.
And there's like 14 of them. So
Jesus, are there really?
Yeah, there's a lot of books. I mean, Robert Jordan died halfway, like near the end, so Brando Sando finished it up for him.
Oh, I didn't know that's what happened.
Yeah, that's like, that helped propel Sanderson's fame. A lot of it was that he got tapped to finish it.
Get out of here.
Yeah, so, but anyway.
So yeah, so that's a classic one of a figure who existed at one point in time in society.
And is coming back.
Vanished, died, and is coming back. Another great one is Neo from The Matrix. You know, Morpheus sets him down as like, when the Matrix was first made, there was a man born inside. When he died, the Oracle prophesized his return. He's like, I think that's you. And then Keanu Reeves does that stare, and that he does, which is kind of just his face.
Wow, did you just try to slander Keanu Reeves?
I love that man. I mean,
everyone does.
He's breathtaking.
He's the best. But yeah, those are like clear examples that exist. There are like plenty of ones that are like cross into, like they have like a little bit of like flavor that feel more messianic, but they are just chosen ones. Like, because I was like, oh, what about Paul from Dune? And you were like, no,
Kyle,
sit down.
Before.
That ain't right. That's a chosen one, which that's fair, because there's a blurred line. Yeah. So we're gonna do our best. I think with our examples, we can be a bit more clear of like
they have existed in the past. Yeah.
Even
then, like one of my favorite examples is, it doesn't even necessarily need to be a specific person. It could just be a, you know, it's not like someone is the reincarnation of the one. We're not dealing with past lives necessarily, but like, I grew up, you know, Toonami after school, watching the original Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, yeah.
And you remember the way that like Vegeta used to always talk about the Super Saiyan, right? It was like in the Frieza saga, it was like before Goku went Super Saiyan for the first time, it was never that Goku was the reincarnation of a Super Saiyan. It was like there was one thousands of years ago. And then there will be another one. And there's this myth that of this thing that might happen.
It's really fun to think about the fact that, like, or it's really frustrating to realize you can never rewatch a thing in the way that you first experienced it. Because I could never rewatch Dragon Ball Z. It would be garbage. Right. But in the time, like, and talking about it now, thinking back to my memory, I'm like, it was so good.
I'm getting chills,
like,
man.
But yeah, but you're like, well, that's 10-year-old us.
Right.
Watching it on Toonami
right.
a long time ago. Right. So here we are.
But just like that feeling of like, oh, imagining the Super Saiyan and Vegeta's talking about the myth of the power. And it's like, oh, this thing could happen. But Goku was not a reincarnation of this Super Saiyan, right?
Yeah.
Like,
well, and by the end, everyone can go Super Saiyan anyway. So what does it matter?
True. But it's all, the point power is like that myth is there. And I think that's a really cool way of handling kind of the messianic figure of someone being reborn, yeah. so to speak. It's like, oh, it doesn't need to be a specific person.
Yeah.
Right? It's like a thing, a role, a
yeah.
something that will come again.
That's a really good point. And so as we look at the menu for our spaghetti dinner here, what is the description on your bowl? What are those three words, baby?
It's really just one word.
Oh, okay. I'll take it.
Twins. What you got?
Am I capped at three words?
You can take five because I only used one.
Fuck. It's six words.
Take it. Go. All I'll right. be generous with you.
This is a quote.
Oh, shit.
I'll give you personally bonus points if you can tell me what the quote's from.
Okay.
Wake me when you need me.
Oh, shit.
You probably don't know. You have made a reference to it since you arrived at my house. But you probably don't know you did. Why don't you go first?
No.
Or do you want me to go first?
No, just give me one second. Just give me one second. Stop rushing me. Why you do this all the time? Just let me live my life.
I just want to record the podcast.
Just let me live my life.
I don't want to play this game anymore.
Wake me when you need me. Fuck. It's Neil Gaiman?
No.
Isn't that something Neil Gaiman he wrote?
Gaiman and no.
Gaiman, shit.
The quote is from Master Chief in the ending of Halo 3.
Oh, okay, got it.
At the end
when you need me.
At the end of Halo 3, he goes back into the cryo sleep, which is the way the first game opens. The third game ends. So yep. The trilogy is starting and ending with, he's in cryo sleep and he's woken up to solve a problem and he's put back to sleep, and he just says, "Wake me when you need me." I was thinking that it would be cool if the messianic figure still exists on the plane.
Hmm.
The body's still there. Okay. Intact, okay. In full.
Do people know where it is?
Yep.
Okay.
But it's asleep. And that's why I was like, wake me when you need me.
That's cool.
And yeah, I love that. I wouldn't think about this like frozen in like a like an ice way, but like a stasis type thing. Say under a mountain or under a city, wherever the location is, they are in some sort of chamber. And you can see them like in all of their glory, but right. they are, there is like magic all around them that is so powerful. It's like their magic, whatever it is, they are just stuck. And to unlock them, to free them from this stasis, takes some kind of act. I don't know what it
a
is.
A prayer, a magic item, maybe.
Like, nobody knows how to do this.
So oh, nobody. Oh, interesting.
So,
okay.
So maybe that could be. I don't have a whole lot other than they are there. They saved the world before.
Right.
And they said, like, this will probably happen again. I'm not going to go entirely away. I'm going to go. I'll be here. I'm going to go like in the sewers here. I'm going to go to that mountain. There's a cave. Walk in. I'll be there. They basically told everybody, I'll be around.
Hmm.
Give me when you need me in a very chill way. And then the people who knew how to deal with that maybe don't remember or they never clarified how they would. The idea that it is, we don't know how to wake you.
Right.
Could work well in that it also brings in a bit of a chosen one thing because it says the chosen one has to free the messianic figure
right.
who is stuck and we don't know how to get it. Somebody will eventually know how to do it. We don't know who that person is or how they'll figure it out, but someone will eventually solve this puzzle. And when they do that, that must be the time that we need them.
I love that. I am getting chills for multiple reasons.
Is it cold in here?
Yes.
There's a blanket.
So I have a storyline that I think fits with it that, again, I am not coming up with it. I'm just totally pilfering from original. So the story comes from Zio Ranger, which is the original Japanese Super Sentai show that the original 1993-1994 very first Power Rangers used as their Japanese footage, right?
And okay, so you have these Power Ranger references on lock.
It's great.
I'm not judging.
Just wait. Okay. So you remember how the Green Ranger Tommy was always like coming in late, and it was always like, oh, I'm forgetful, or oh, I had another fucking karate tournament that I had to go to that somehow no one else did. And he always showed up late at the end. He was always this deus ex machina, right? The reason they built that in is because in the original footage, the Green Ranger was, if memory serves, he was technically dead.
Okay.
But, or dying. Like, uh-huh. His life force had ended.
Okay.
But he lived in a cave that was suspended from time.
Oh, fun.
So as long as he stayed in the cave, he could live.
Yeah.
But the minute he left the cave, he had to be outside of the cave for as little time as possible.
Yeah.
Because then his life force would just keep getting burned out and burned out and burned out until he finally died.
Oh, okay.
And so that's why he always, all that Japanese footage had the Green Ranger coming in late. Because they were like, you, it's like, it's only if it is absolutely necessary, yeah, like, that you call me.
You do not have unlimited minutes.
Right.
This is a family plan with a limited minutes, exactly. Budget. So you get 20, go solve the problem. And come right. Back. That's cool.
And then they built that in. So like when Tommy lost his powers and like just stopped being the Green Ranger in the Japanese show, the dude died.
Yeah.
Like he just died because he spent too long out of the cave. Uh-huh. I think the bad guys destroyed the cave. I can't remember, but I was like, I love that idea of like, you are there. This like you're suspended. You're reachable.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's interesting. So take the first version of that, put it off to the side, new version that let's borrow this in full, basically.
Sure.
The messianic figure is alive.
Mm-hmm.
They're there. They are in that cave. They can't leave unless it's absolutely, like, there is, the budget is so slim. Like, they have, like,
80 seconds. You and I were not on the same page at all.
We could do 80 seconds. We'll leave that off to the side. The budget could be 80 seconds or 3 hours. I don't know.
To use the author.
80 seconds is such a slim amount of time to do anything. 80 seconds, you just get out and you go, oh, God, it's so bright. And then you got to stretch a minute and then you go, fuck, I got 20 seconds. I got to go.
I'm setting a timer for 80 seconds. I will let you know when it's done.
All right. So I'll have to pitch the whole idea in 80 seconds. Lightning round came early. But so... they've acted then as a bit of a, as like a counselor that like people go there.
Timer starting now.
So then they can act as a bit of a advisor, a counselor, a guru or whatever they are. They exist in this place. People come to seek them for different advice and different things. But then you can also create a dynamic of this messiah being a little bit frustrated and fed up and like cutting off the other people and just saying, no, you can no longer come talk to me. I'm tired of this bullshit and I'm angry that I'm stuck here. I want this problem to come so I can go deal with it because I'm tired of this fucking cave. Right. You can create a fun dynamic, maybe not fun for him, but you create this
tense
dynamic of this being stuck here in this stupid cave trying to solve a problem, but maybe they're instead using all their brain power and all their powers to free themselves from the cave. To just, they kind of make the cave bigger. What can I do to let myself be out of here? I don't know.
Andy Dufresne, Shawshank.
Yeah,
digging the tunnel.
They're just gonna this like incredibly powerful messianic figure would just dig a tunnel. Yeah,
you're that bored.
In my version, the messianic figure is like a demigod of some kind.
Ah, got it.
I feel like that would be kind of necessary. But maybe not. I don't know.
And 80 seconds.
All right, yeah. Whatever.
Not enough time.
Yeah.
Let's go with 3 hours.
Yeah. It's also, I think it's just fun to have them exist in the world. And I liked the idea that they are frozen maybe more because it creates more of, it lets people run a little bit more rampant with how they react to it.
Mm-hmm.
The reaction to this, it exists, like they exist, but they're trapped. You'd almost undermine their authority in the long run. It's like, oh, well, like, cause I'm like, oh, you'd have like a cult
right
arise about them. But then the cult would be like, wait, are you that big of a deal? You can't leave this stupid cave? Are you just like a weird hermit who's convinced everybody of your power versus the great
being. The skeptics coming in.
Yeah. Versus this great being stuck in this interesting, like, I imagine that like the chamber that they're like frozen in stasis in is been made to be incredibly intricate and maybe opulent and like ceremonial and fascinating.
It's like King, Arthur still theoretically like recovering from his wounds in Avalon.
Yeah. Like there is this figure that's so important and they're in this perfect place. And then you go there, you see it, it awestrucks you.
Mm.
And then you like you go back and you go, oh my God, I can't believe what I just saw.
Yeah.
Versus just like, it's just a dude in a cave. Like, what the fuck?
I like the idea of this person being deliberately in stasis and almost drawing very heavily from The Force Awakens. The quest is that you have a map and you have to find the map to where this stasis is. And it's the chosen one that will be able to complete the map and find the way to actually unlock the key. Or maybe, you know, someone is the key themselves and it's only their hand, their blood, their power that can unleash them.
Yeah, I mean, could be.
It's easy, but I like the idea that this is someone who is here and available.
Yeah.
If the need is that dire.
And I guess that's where the mechanism becomes so important, is if the mechanism is that you get to decide what's so dire,
yeah,
or they get to decide what's so dire.
Well, that's my question, is the thing that they are waiting for, is their ancient enemy also in a suspended state somehow? And they're just like, they're just sort of punting, where they're like, oh, well, the great demon Ragnathor locked himself away, but I didn't kill him, so I must rest and wait until Ragnathor is freed again.
Maybe. That could just, my head just straight up went to like, oh, it's a great kaiju battle. You're just waiting for the other guy to come back, and then you're going to fight over the oceans or whatever, which I think is not all that fun to me, because I don't like kaiju, but...
Well, see, I do love kaiju, and I love the idea. I'm just gonna gonna throw some cheese on that idea real quick. Everyone thinks it's this, you know, it's just a name, and everyone keeps saying, "Oh, don't worry, you know, when Ragnathor returns, Alizan will show up for us." And it's all this picture and iconography of Alizan being a knight and a shield and gleaming armor, and it's another fucking kaiju.
Yeah,
and everyone goes like, is the solution here actually, is like Ragnathor really the problem here? Because now they're both just kind of destroying the world right now.
Is Ragnathor the problem, or is it Ragnazeus, the guy on our side?
Mm, right, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but I think that would be a funny flip. It's like everyone thinks, oh, it's this knight, and it is not a knight.
Yeah.
it is another giant fucking lizard.
Yeah. So when we go, going to the, you know, they're in stasis, they're in, say, a mountain or whatever. I think the chosen one, how they unlock it, sitting that off to the side. What do you like? I don't know how the society will necessarily think about them, because there's this person, and like, I'm going to bring it in here, is foreshadowed. What about religion? Like, what kind of religion crops up around that? If it's a creature or being that does exist, that there's no faith really required. People can co-confirm. You can go to the mountain and see them in there. In my initial version of this, I was thinking that they were literally underneath the city. The city was built upon them.
Yeah.
So that everybody in that city has like a connection. And then it's like a very like localized religion.
That's interesting.
Of like, we definitively know this thing is here. It's beneath us. We've all seen it. We go on field trips to see it as children.
So a couple ideas here. I can see it going a few ways. One of which being, there is, maybe it's his compatriots. Or maybe it's the ancient warrior's compatriots or followers or squires, whoever they may be, that they secretly know that the warrior is sleeping under the city. But it is a secret. And instead, they have created a religion. Sort of like in Skyrim, you know, Talos becomes, it was like a warrior made God.
I don't remember the lore of Skyrim whatsoever.
But Talos was the mortal made god, right? And so they start a religion based on a lie. But they do this so that very explicitly they can protect and let the warrior sleep, because they know that if people find out that they still exist, they are actually alive, then they will be abused. And I don't mean abused in the like physically, but like their power will be taken for granted. They will become like the go-to solution.
I get what you're going with there. I think that's cool. I think there is something so interesting about how sprawling or how effective you'd have to be as a secret order to keep a messianic figure hidden for so long, I think at that point you probably, the location, you have to start questioning where do you put them? Where do you store them? And is it, you do it like under everyone's noses in the city, like, you know, in, you know, beneath the sewers, or do you go more remote and there's like a monastery in the mountains and it's like, they're an order, but they are more like, they are a monastic brotherhood who have dedicated themselves to silence or something to really like deter new people. Like it seems like it's such a harsh place to be or to exist. So people, like, no one wants to join them. They're just like, okay, those are the monks that are clearly like, you know, doing a rough thing.
Right.
And then they kind of keep people at bay, but then that's all facade. And truthfully, like when the doors are shut, they're all having a good time. They're all like,
or it's just a normal life. It might not even need to be revelry, but it's
I just mean like they're not living this like insane monastic life. They're living like totally fine. They have families, they have whatever, but there's like a secret society, or like underground society that exists there, all dedicated to protecting this figure.
Yeah.
And so they are a cult, but they are a cult based around a thing for that good. Definitely exists, and they're keeping it sacred. Keeping it safe. Sacred and safe.
Because I think that's it, what you were talking about when we were talking about kind of the time warp possibility is interesting, of not only the messianic figure themselves getting jaded about, like, oh, I'm stuck in this cave, or you keep pulling me out for these small problems, but also the other people thinking, you're alive and you're not doing anything, you're alive and you're stuck in this cave, like their perceptions of that figure would warp.
Yeah.
Versus becoming, you know, keeping the myth alive becomes so important to keep that story going, because people need the story, right? Almost like End of the Dark Knight, right? Like where people need, you know, Gordon and Batman lied about Two-Face because they're like, they need Harvey Dent to be good. They needed that. And instead of letting that happen, instead of seeing yourself become the villain, they keep that story alive and they keep him secret, knowing, because he was maybe the warrior was the only one that told his few disciples, Ragnarthor will come back. I will come back. Like, wake me when you need me.
Yeah. What if, to the Harvey Dent idea, take out the wake me when you need me because it's no longer relevant. He does go mad. He has gone crazy. He's no longer a stable being, but his power is still so important.
Still the only one that can take down Ragnarthor.
Yeah. Whatever.
Name this person, by the way, because we need a name for them.
Based on a quick look at Fantasy Name Generator, I'm going to go with Osrin.
Osrin. Perfect. Yes.
So Osrin has gone crazy. Osrin is being kept in this monastery, in this, you know, secret mountain or facility or whatever, kind of against their will, but also kind of not.
Are they conscious, or are they in a state of magical suspended animation?
Probably a little bit of both.
Ooh.
Like, they know that, like, they said, basically, I know what's about to happen to me. Like, I can't exist for as long as I'm going to need to exist.
It was like the last moment of clarity or something.
Yes. And was like, put me in these binds. I've made them.
Right.
It has my magic. It will hold me.
Right.
This is what you need to do.
You can't seal me, but you can free me.
Yeah. Like,
when Ragnarthor shows up
again. Basic. Yeah. And like, follow my instructions to the T. Keep this safe. Yeah. If you don't, everybody's going to die. Either I'm going to kill him or Ragnarthor is going to kill him. But if Ragnarthor's here, I will focus them because that's my bigger enemy.
And then Ragnarthor might kill me too.
Yes. But like that, I'm the only chance to stop him. So you better do this, as I say, explicitly.
Right. It's not a control me. It's an unleash me.
Yes. And that the religion that props up around it is making sure that they are. It is trying to get the tone right, because on the one hand, you could say they want to make sure everybody thinks like well of this thing.
Right.
In the, like, let's preserve
of Osrin.
Yes, let's preserve the myth of Osrin, and like the let's make sure that Harvey Dent lives, you know, dies a hero. Or they want to downplay it. So when Osrin comes back, nobody's like the Osrin doesn't destroy the entire religion that's been propped up. But at that point, they might not care. They might just say, actually, Maybe they do want the religion to exist because they want people to support them and to keep them like big. What they're doing is important. We don't know what they're doing, but those are the monks of the Osrin. They're Osrini monks.
Right.
They're doing whatever they're supposed to be doing.
Priory of Osrin.
Well, like, leave them be. So it's a good way to keep them people out, or they're like, oh, they're crazy. Let's leave them alone.
And I could even see a myth forming up around it that's very, very Obi-Wan, where, you know, he splits Anakin Skywalker and Darth Vader into two separate people, you know, the certain point of view side. I could see that as being, you know, there's the Knight Osrin and the demon Ragnathor, but then there was also this mad dark knight Volsk.
Okay.
And, you know, like split the mad version of Osrin from the noble version in the story. So when they finally wake him up again, they're like, oh, it's Volsk. Volsk has returned, not Osrin. Osrin is still good and we love Osrin.
Yeah, that seems good too.
Yeah.
I think the more we think about it, the more it's just like the mechanics of Osrin themselves is weird. Anyway, that's
no,
not
but
a point it, for
but,
the podcast.
But no, but I actually really like this. I think that's really fun. I like the idea of sort of like the hero in waiting, right? Like the patient king, the patient knight. Ooh, the patient knight. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, that could be, you know, could be that.
Something like that.
Yeah. I think that might be all that we have on Noodles on that one specifically for now. So I think it might be time to turn it over to your twins.
Ne'er the twins shall meet. I think twins as a trope in fantasy are always.
Is it a trope in fantasy? I feel like it's not done enough. I feel like it's not really a thing.
I feel like twins should be a trope in fantasy more than they are.
Gotcha.
I think they're fun. I think they're neat. I think the way that they've shown up throughout world history in different cultures as both blessings and curses, you know, like it all, sometimes a signifier of greatness, you know, Romulus and Remus, right? Like thinking, you know, the founders of Rome and I don't think they were twins, but I think they were brothers, but there's always
been
a dynamic.
Now people are pretty sure it's all a lie and there wasn't, there was no Remus.
Shocking.
Yeah.
But the point of all of this is that there's all, I love the dynamics of siblings in mythology and in stories and in fantasy. I think those are always fun.
Yeah.
So I have got this idea of, two siblings, thinking up some names right now. Let's go with Ligo and Karsh.
Okay. Ligo and Karsh.
Ligo and Karsh are siblings. They are twins.
Okay.
I want to avoid a trope where it's like, oh, siblings turn on each other.
Yeah.
These two do not turn on each other.
Okay.
They rise up through the ranks of their military, town guard. They become rulers, almost co-rulers, sharing the burden of leadership. You know, the twin lords or the twin ladies.
Yeah.
Whatever, however you want them to be, have them be that way. It's very important, though, that they support each other, they get along, no matter what happens, they always have each other's back. They are both killed in a mighty battle, and there is a prophecy naturally made that there will be a rebirth. But the seer, the oracle that makes the prophecy, doesn't specify which one is going to be reborn. And so the story, the question, the society is built around almost becomes these warring factions over, oh, it's going to be Ligo, or no, it's going to be Karsh, right? Like, they're clearly it's going to be Ligo that's going to be reborn.
Yeah.
It couldn't be possibly be Karsh. Karsh was a vicious, bloodthirsty knight. You know, that could never happen. Oh, but Ligo had this brilliance and this genius and this incredible magical skill. It's like, well, yeah, but Ligo was so frail. How could, you know, their magical might aside, they could barely lift a sword. It could never be Ligo. Karsh is clearly the one who's going to be reborn. And so the society that forms as a result of it is going to be very divided over these siblings who were completely unified, had each other's back. And like,
they've made up a fissure. That did not exist.
Okay. And it's an entire perversion of the relationship.
Okay. I think it's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty simple.
Yeah, it's giving me noodles in a different direction, but I'll put them off for the side for a second.
It's simple enough to the point where like I haven't even decided where, if there will be a rebirth. Okay. And by that, I mean, of course, there will be a rebirth. It's a messianic figure.
Yeah.
But I haven't even decided, will it just be one, or did they mean there will be, did the oracle mean there will be a rebirth?
Well, because it could also be that it's
both
rebirth,
will be back.
It could be a rebirth where they're no longer twins. They are one person.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that. That's a great idea.
That like they're merged back into one.
That's way better.
Yeah. And then they just look down at everybody and say, why the fuck are you divided? We were always together.
We were always one.
Yeah. Did you guys not
get
that?
Oh, I love that. That's great. I hadn't thought of that as an option. And it's a great indictment of like, you are always looking for conflict. You are always needing to define, like, the point is that we lived in harmony.
Yeah. And then we worked together and
no matter what. And we did it to support you. And you, like, you've let us down. Like, that is something that I think about a lot, is like the messianic figure who comes back and is disappointed.
Oh, God, yeah.
I love that shit.
It never happens.
No,
but it would be really funny.
It should happen.
It would be really funny. I think that would be such a good little moment there to pitch my notes before I forget them.
Yeah.
What if Karsh and Ligo, they require the other to really be as like important, like their strength, their, you know, they really lean on the other one to exist. Without the other one, they are kind of useless.
Sort of like a light and shadow type thing, like one cannot exist without the other.
Yeah, but they have long life, whatever. Mm-hmm.
They're long lived.
Yeah, they live forever. Ligo dies,
okay,
in a battle or whatever, or somehow,
right?
Karsh is alone.
Karsh
then spends the rest of their life just trying to find a reborn Ligo, inspecting every newborn child, roaming angry, bitter, frustrated, looking for their brother or sister to come back to them.
That's so much better.
So you get this, you get a long lost lover trope in here too, but it's a sibling love. It is, I am broken without my twin. I need them back, and they will come back. I know that inherently due to who I am.
I need to find them. And maybe it's something simple, like the fact that they are still, like, if this person, like, if the other was truly dead, then they would die too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Perfect.
So, like, their immortality is somehow tied to each other.
It's like, I know, because our souls, like, I can feel their soul.
Right. I'm still here.
Yes.
So that means Ligo is out there somewhere.
And it might not be, Ligo's soul was out there.
Right, 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 right.
So Ligo, like, eventually will pop up.
Right.
I need to find out.
I just have to find them.
And Karsh is not particular, like, they are important, but they're now, like, they're kind of washed. Everyone's like, yeah,
sure, because
yeah, what's the
they
point of
were
you?
These, again, and I'm thinking now immediately game mechanics and character building, right? Like, these were, you had siblings that were a 20th level fighter and a 20th, or a, you know, 20th level fighter and a 20th level wizard, right?
Yeah.
And then right. And then suddenly, like, the wizard dies.
Yeah,
and in a battle, and the knight falls immediately back to level one.
Yeah, he's rather useless now.
Right,
but also he's like just a broken shell of a person. So then,
I love that. That's such a great D&D character concept too. That's such a
that's a good D&D character.
That's a great motivation to be out in the world, like searching for like the reincarnate, and like that is so good, Kyle.
Yeah.
Shit.
Their position in society will become more precarious the longer Ligo doesn't come back.
Yeah,
because then people are just like annoyed at Karsh. Karsh probably has like I'm imagining like legacy seats in, you know, the halls of kings and queens and whatever, like, you know, it's like Karsh can come and do with them, you know,
right.
Like they saved everybody, they are this messiah figure, but now they're like they're the guy who,
the city's named after them, it's like Karshopolis or something.
Yeah, it's like but they have like lost their legacy as this goes further and further, because they are no longer very useful. They're increasingly unreliable,
out of touch with reality, I imagine. Yeah. Like very almost Dr. Manhattan, right? Like they're completely, you know, they're sitting at a council meeting and they're just zoned out off into space, like trying to, you know, astral project into the astral plane to try and find Ligo, right? Like that's what they spend all of their time doing.
Yeah.
They're completely disconnected from mortal concerns.
Yeah. And I don't want to like. I think this version is cool, but I am curious if it could be more uplifting and less negative in it, in that it is Karsh is trying to find Ligo, but isn't going mad from it.
Yeah.
They are instead doing it in a way that feels more diplomatic and professional, for lack of a better term.
Driven.
Of, yeah, like very driven, very much like systematic.
Mm-hmm.
Of I am almost do it like they could go full on authoritarian with it too.
Mm-hmm.
Of just I am every newborn in the world. I need to know who, like I need to look them in the eye,
yeah,
and determine if that's legal or not.
Yeah.
And so they, you know, they're like everybody needs to come have their children blessed by me, Karsh, but they don't right. tell people why.
That's why they're doing it, right?
Yeah, they're trying to inspect for Ligo. Instead, they're like, no, it is good wishes. I will be like, and maybe it's, they don't need to come to me. It's, I will go to you. I have power. I know when a child is born.
And I show up. I just like,
I knock on your door.
Over there.
Yeah, I am Santa Claus.
Yeah.
I'm popping down that chimney and I'm taking a look at that kid.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be able to tell if that's him or not.
Right.
I think you could play it in a way that's less sad.
Yeah.
And just more driven.
Well, and I think for depending on time frame with a messianic figure, the question of time is always really interesting, right? Like, cause I always think about Palpatine and Voldemort, they both, like Palpatine only was emperor for like 30-ish years, right? Like Voldemort was
fucking wuss,
right? But like Voldemort was like 70 when he died. You know, it's there needs to be an element of incredible lengths of time. Like I'm thinking minimum 100 years, like maybe even 150.
I mean, we wait in 2023 years,
but that's what I'm saying. But that's what I'm saying, right? So we and Jews have been waiting even longer. So the point is that it could imagine this does go on for centuries, multiple centuries, yeah, yeah, and eventually millennia. Like I could see the world even sort of understanding that Karsh is real, but
wait, Ligo or Karsh? Karsh is still alive.
That's what I'm saying.
They understand Karsh is real.
Yes. Okay. They understand Karsh is real, but also because it has been so long since Ligo was around, that Ligo has almost faded into myth.
Oh.
And as a result, Karsh has almost become like almost a cryptid, right? Like a creature or a being or a folklore, right? Like,
I think,
oh, like Karsh comes to visit when the newborn is near. Keep an eye on the sky, lest he be here.
Oh, that, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah,
right?
I think that's kind of cool.
You could, I could see that happening.
I think it'd be interesting if maybe in the long run, Karsh becomes like starts to accept that it like there is no point, like Ligo will present themselves when they present themselves. I should just relax,
yeah,
and try to live a life
and becomes very zen.
And but I was thinking more becomes like a almost like a Gatsby figure,
yeah,
who just starts like Karsh can accumulate great wealth, infinite wealth,
yeah.
He outlives everybody, he's immune to consequences in so many ways. He just starts throwing massive lavish parties, becomes this like figure where, you know, you walk down the streets and you see billboards with Karsh, you know, just like becomes like a
celebrity.
Yeah, just like a celebrity. But I'm thinking of like the BioShock games. I don't know if you ever played them.
I haven't.
But they have
really, like you said, I didn't play video games for a long time,
but they have amazing world building. And one of the things is like the cult of personality that they cultivate for the, cause it's all about like the one entrepreneur capitalist who like goes to create a perfect society. And it's like, I mean, they're like ripping it apart for that, this like dystopian version, but like, it's always like everything is named after the guy who's like, you know, like, everything is like, has his face on it. He's everywhere. He is a god.
Right.
And then Karsh could just become that god. Like, this city is Karsh. That's the name of the fucking city.
Right.
The currency are Karshi. Like, everything is just Karsh everywhere. It's just his face on everything. And he becomes this god emperor, but mostly out of boredom, because he's there forever and he's waiting for Ligo.
It could be out of boredom. It could also be because he looked around at the state of the world when Ligo died.
Uh-huh.
Like, this is unacceptable. And so devotes his life, his entire remaining time, his existence, his immortality to making the world as good a place as it can be. And that's why, and like, and so he's accumulating the wealth. He is trying to create this utopic society.
Yeah, like, oh, well, when Nego comes back, I should have it in this place in good working order for him. That's
my brother is the, or my sibling is the most important person in my life.
Like, in the world.
In the world. Do you honestly think that I would not have everything ready so that when they return, we are at our best to handle the darkness that comes with them?
Or it may not be darkness. I don't know. Yeah, it's like all of our examples, like what's coming. It's all like this climate, this darkness thing. But that's like, it's kind of,
it just returns.
Yeah, and it's like, but I guess in every example of a messianic figure, that is all it is. It's just,
well, because
like,
that's also good storytelling. That, I mean, because so much of it is about the story. It's like,
what
I mean, if Neo came back and there was no war with the machines, what would it matter?
What I'm getting at is, it's just like this ambiguous darkness rather than a different kind of conflict.
Ah,
it's like, you know, man versus man versus nature, man versus, you know, like there's a joke from New Girl where Nick's like, there's only seven types of stories. Man versus man versus dog versus zombie. and he just lists, he's like, hot dogs and like sports stories and documentaries. It was just like,
was so funny.
Not at all the types of storytelling. It's genius.
I love that show.
I just finished a rewatch. It could be anything.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to point that out, that we've been talking about it within the confines of, oh, it's a darkness, but right. It could be anything.
Yeah, no, good. That's, I dig that. I think that's really fun. I like both of those a lot.
Yeah. Do you want to do a quick speed round then?
Always.
All right.
Always, well, speed round.
Well, why don't you go first with speed round?
So very, very simple. This is a world populated by insect people where instead of, they know exactly where the messianic figure is because it's just a caterpillar in a cocoon becoming a butterfly. But it's just this repeated cycle of like, oh, when will they return? When will they return? It's like, it's always 3 weeks. Like, how have we not figured this out yet? It's it's a repeatable process. But insects.
Object permanence.
Yeah. But insect cocoon process, hibernating, larvae stage, whatever, metamorphosis. So yeah, insect people, what you got?
All right.
Wait, I'm going to start a timer.
I won't need a minute.
Oh, you won't need a minute.
Quite simply, messianic figure walks into the ocean and no one has seen them since. Everyone just knows that they are in the ocean somewhere. They are swimming. They are living. Unsure. But they just walked into the ocean and just went like down. Like not like walked on water. They just straight up just walked in there like and just kept going. And then people have gone out there, like people like followed and looked and they couldn't find them. And they
not
see,
even a glimpse, not even like a big, not even like a Bigfoot like blurry picture somewhere.
Well, they could see like the tracks that they were as they were like treading water. Yeah. And then they just people like followed them, watched them go under the water and they're like looking down, watching them just keep treading water, walking down the like the sand as the sand keeps going, like is going at an incline, and then just lost them and no one has seen them since. But people just think they're down there.
I love it. The mystery.
They'll come back.
I also like the idea very quickly of what if someone gets bored of waiting for them to come back and so like tries to hold someone they love hostage.
What? Why?
I don't know. Just like, how do you get someone to come back from the ocean? I don't know. We found their great grandkid. I'm gonna hold him hostage.
You're a weird person.
Yeah.
If you ever get bored or you're lonely, don't kidnap somebody as a response.
Right. I'm not advocating for it. I never said it was a good idea. I just said that someone would do it.
All right. Well, so what's stuck for you?
I wake me when you need me. That's gonna like be running through my head. The idea of the
line.
The line itself, but also just kind of like the patient knight, right? Like, this person is there. They are waiting. They are in stasis, like, and ready to be summoned at a moment's notice.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that because so much of the, particularly the way that we tell these stories, it's often so much of like the mystery of, will this person come back? Is this story real? Is this story real? Right? Like, and the question, this situation flips it a little bit. Because it's suddenly, no, we know this person is real. It's not a mystery when they come back, right? The question is always, what is our, like, is this crisis sufficient
what's
enough
the
to
trigger?
Bring them back?
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
If that was not specified.
Yeah.
So I like that inversion of it.
Yeah.
So I like that. And then I also love what you said, the way that you flipped What if they came back? What if Ligo and Karsh came back as one person? Uh-huh. Or and then Karsh having to. I thought that was a great way of both playing with the twins. What about you? What stuck for you?
An idea that it sticks in my head is the green Power Ranger thing of like being stuck in the cave. I think that's so interesting. Of like, you can't leave the cave for very long. I think that's just weirdly like sticks out to me. I prefer the version where that's not the case.
Right.
But I like that idea as like a concept a lot.
Yeah.
I think
it's
that...
It's a cool mechanic. You don't want to use it for this story, but it's just a
cool mechanic. Yeah. I like the cool mechanic. I like that. I thought that
was cool.
And I do... I really like the idea that Karsh and Ligo have this like long lost love dynamic of I cannot be the chosen one or the Messiah without you.
Yeah.
And just like the obsession is kind of fun.
Yeah.
You know, however that manifests is fine, but yeah.
No, I think that
it's
tied in well with like the shared immortality and like the fact that Karsh is still alive is proof that Ligo will return.
Yeah. I mean, that's cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's what stuck for us. Let us know what stuck for you. Emails in the show notes. Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Goodbye. Bye. 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 Bye.